I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thanks for everybody for being here. Shauna, if you could take roll, Troyan's here.
Lorenzo's here. And Willis is here.
All right, Mr. Magnata, Mr. Belwar.
Willis here.
Do we have any comments, additions, or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting?
No.
We can't make a motion, but so that there's no change for next. Proposed curative amendment, DEPG. Mr. Waldron, is Mr. Waldron on? No.
Not yet.
No. Patrick is my engineer.
I believe Attorney Waldron will be joining soon.
This is the longest this meeting's been quiet.
Huh?
Is this the longest meeting's been quiet in a long time?
Yeah.
Bob's not normal.
Well, we got a letter from Mr. Belwar. Did you see the letter from Mr. Belwar?
I didn't circulate the letter to anyone other than the Planning Commission.
Okay.
But I did circulate the revised ordinance to Mr. Paul.
Okay. So then we're going to discuss the revised ordinance. Did you and Mr. Waldron have a discussion about that?
We did not. I did not hear from him after I sent it out to him the other day. I'll take you through real quick if you want.
One thing for you to think about, huh?
I just talked to him. He's calling in. Mr. Waldron is calling.
Right. One thing that I wanted to talk to Mr. Belwar about is, given light of what happened at the last meeting, and irrespective of that, we're not mentioning signage specifically in this ordinance. And I think that the signage, it needs to be clear that, and I asked the supervisors at their meeting how they would feel about this, that the signage needs to be for the whole project. In other words, if you're going to use the preferred signage, then the total amount of the square foot area of the signage should be the same for the entire project, irrespective of whether a road divides it or not.
Now, Mr. Walters, I know.
I am.
Okay, so we'll let Mr. Belwar and Mr. Waldron take the meeting at this point in time.
Okay. So I appreciate that comment, Mr. Waldron. I don't know if you heard that the suggestion was signage needs to be for an entire project, even if that project happens to be divided by a road, which would be your circumstance. Okay. So that's something I would need to add in.
Okay.
But otherwise, now that you're on, I passed on to you the revised ordinance. I highlighted for the Planning Commission the changes via a separate letter. Do you have any questions, any issues as regards to any of the revisions that I've made this go around?
Uh,
Actually, I did review it. I reviewed it earlier today with Mr. DePetris and our project engineer. And for the most part, we really appreciate the changes that were made. We think that they make sense and they did result from our discussions. There are only two things that I did have a question with regards to. And that was because there were one new insertion. There were a couple of minor insertions that I thought made sense, and so we're not even going to discuss them. And the changes that you made with respect to the setbacks in number four, more or less what we agreed on anyway, not what we originally proposed to agree on, they're fine. In number five on the maximum lot coverage, which I know we spent a lot of time on, that also reads fine as far as we're concerned. Not everything that I proposed was in there. I understand that. I don't expect that we necessarily get everything we asked for, so to speak. The only thing that was new in there that wasn't there previously was that the setbacks at the very end it says the 75 foot requirement may be reduced to 50 feet. Appreciate that, and I think that was partly based on the discussions we had about the fact that the real reason for putting rules on increasing lot coverage is to make sure that there's going to be adequate stormwater controls on the property and that you meet the standard requirement that you can't have any post-development runoff or even during construction runoff that wasn't already there. And certainly that's what an engineer would have to show. But the idea of it, we talked about why the 75 foot on all sides would be particularly confining on a project even like this, but I think unless it was a really large property, 100 acres or something like that, it would have a significant impact about how much land would be available. So the idea of going down to 50 is good. Unfortunately, it does say here that it may be reduced to 50, and by putting in the 50 feet here, it kind of is contrary to what's set forth in number four, which allows for albeit 50 foot on the front lot, which we agreed to, but 35 feet on the sides and the rear, unless there was adjoining residential area, which for the most part there's not. But be that as it may, that 50 foot kind of goes against what is said in the section right before that, which says that it could be 35 feet. I understand that that's somewhat based on the old rules that came along with the provisions about when you could increase lot coverage. But the very nature of this project is that you're going to have more lot coverage, certainly than 25%. And it seemed like, for the most part, the Planning Commission accepted that idea that it wouldn't have to be, well, you're going to be 25%, but maybe you could go higher. I see what we've developed here as being a reasonable way to deal with this. But I think the 50 feet still is more than what it says in the paragraph before it. That's the main issue. The second one is that it's still saying that it may change. So that's a subjective thing that's hard to predict whether it's going to be granted or not. Because I don't know why there would be a may if, in fact, the township engineer agrees that the stormwater planning will work, which is what it says here. He has to evaluate that and give his opinion. Right. But if he says that, I'm not sure why the extra area is really that necessary. So that's the one particular comment. I'll throw in the other one only because I don't know that it involves a lot of discussion. And that was in number 14, the green and recreational space.
Right.
The language in there looked okay, and it did seem to comport with what we've discussed. Although I thought that there was an agreement with, I thought all the Planning Commission members who were there that day, or at the last meeting, that 5% would be dedicated to recreational. So if you will, 1/4 of the 20% that would have to be green area. And the idea that it'd be kept in kind of confined areas, we agreed to. But right now it says half of the public space has to be for recreational. That would be 10%, not 5%.
Right, and I definitely did increase that. The idea is, I looked at a 10 acre example, and if 2 acres, 20% is going to be set aside as green or recreational space, or the public space as I defined it here, recreational, it would want it acre out of that 2 acres as recreational facility, would that be a hardship for a developer? Would it be a positive for the public? And so I put it out there for the Planning Commission to discuss if they want to, but I kind of think out of 2 acres, if you take one of the acres and make that recreational facilities, including the potential for walking trails, that made a lot of sense.
Well, I understand that, although if it's a 10-acre project, it's not going to be, there's not going to be that many uses that are going to be able to fit in there, I don't believe. But in, since we're, you know, this is, you know, for better or for worse, being modeled on the idea of what would be happening on the Santos property. And the project that we submitted was for a 20-acre area. So 5% of that still would be 1 acre.
Right.
I get it that proportionally, since the minimum required is 10 acres, that you could end up with a situation that 5% of that would only be a half acre. A half acre might be adequate, especially if there's only a couple, three businesses there. But I thought that the idea that 1 acre on the project that has already been proposed, even though we haven't gone forward with that conditional use application that was submitted on December 31st of 2024, that's envisioning a 20-acre area. And so 1 acre of that would be, or yeah, 5% of that would be 1 acre. There would still be another 3 acres that would be, would remain the public space, as you now use that term.
Right.
So, and I guess this change to the half was something new. It wasn't something we had discussed before.
I
remember the 5% was actually discussed, at our last meeting.
So those were the only two things that we had questions with. The rest of it, I think, fits with what we've been working on for the last 6 months, and we appreciate the effort to try and, you know, make some changes there. And we've agreed to live with some things that weren't ideally from our point of view, but are workable, we believe. So those are the two items, the 5% versus 10% on the open space, and then the thing with respect to the setbacks on maximum lot coverage.
Okay, so let's focus on number 14, the green or recreational space, find this public space. Planning Commission, any thoughts there on that aspect?
I think we discussed it. We discussed it last time. I was okay with the...
Because
it was a congruency thing.
Yeah, even 5% of 10 acres is still going to be 100 by 100. Area for recreational tables, whatever you want to put in there. We're talking about a smaller property, smaller recreational area. But I think the discussion we had and we all agreed on was 5%, and then the remainder of that would be put into trails.
Right.
For walking or
yes.
Jogging.
I like that.
So let's not separate recreational from trails, because right now they could have green space without any public amenity, if you will, just manicured, whatever it might be.
That's true. It could be lawn or
it could a garden,
wildflowers, something like that. Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking to be inclusive of the trail space, keep that in mind as you think about what percentage of the public space you'd want to see as available for recreational. And it could be 50%, that's what I have in it right now. It could be what Mr. Waldron's advocating for, which would be 25%. Not half, but 25%.
So would a better way of explaining it be, let's say 10% and a minimum of 5% for recreation, 5% trails, something like that? I mean, you might have a better way of explaining it, but.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking we might want to keep that open because of the different parcels that will come before you. And simply say recreational has to be available to the general public as a, and that's going to be a certain percentage of the public space or open green space. And focusing on that issue, I suggested 50%, but we bring that down to 25%, whatever's your pleasure. And again, if we're looking at this particular lot, 20 acres, if they have to set aside 4 acres as a greener recreational space, half of that, 2 acres, is going to be recreational of some kind. Or if it's only 25%, then it's going to be 1 acre out of the 20 that would be recreational.
And I think a 200 by 200 foot, because it would make sense to have that as just one location, not spread out. As the point says, you can't spread it out more than two parts, but right. It would make sense to have that as one area. I mean, we're talking 200 by 200 plus a little bit. That's a pretty decent size. You could have area for walking, you know, the dog. If the dog's on a leash, you could also go on the trails. But and there is already provision that there can be walking trails, just as can be located anywhere on the property.
Right. Doesn't have to be concentrated, so the thinking might be around the outskirts.
I think that's
right. That makes sense. Yeah.
I think that's what we discussed, was the 5% needed to be a concentrated area, right. And that the walking trails would be throughout other than. So the 5% we were talking.
All right, the walking trails were to take up the rest of the 20%.
They were to be spread without or throughout the rest of mm-hmm. it. But the 5% was to be concentrated areas, no more than two, right?
Tony,
we talk about no more than two, no more than two.
Can our plan accommodate the 5%?
I mean, was the 5% of the whole 10 acres or that public space?
5% can be accommodated.
No, it's 20% of the property.
How much up to 20%
of the acres being used for recreational?
I think it might be better for Patrick to kind of respond to that, Jim.
I know, that's what I'm asking, Patrick.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear, Jim, I couldn't hear what you said.
I'm saying it's our plan. I think it does, but can our plan accommodate that 5%?
I don't think you're going to be able to unless he uses the microphone.
Oh.
Yeah, Jim, you
can hear
use the mic.
Well.
Okay.
All
right.
You know,
sorry.
Patrick, are you hearing Jim?
You can sit down.
I couldn't hear what you were saying a second ago. There might have been some other talk in the background, though.
You, Patrick, if our plan, I think it can, but I want to hear from you, can accommodate that 5% concentrated area?
I believe it can, Jim. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Yeah, I think we felt that the last time that could work, yes.
Yes, yes.
And then if I may ask your engineer, with the setbacks, you'd be able to put a walking trail in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure could. Picnic tables, even.
Plan to, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so at least with your plan, we could stick with the language that I have, which is half of the public space must be recreational facilities. That'd be 2 acres. And then I think the board's asking, the planning commission is saying, of that, can we make sure half of that at least is recreation, is a walking trail?
Right. And we could be nitpicking here, but are you, for a walking trail, are you assuming it's 10 feet long by, you know, a 1,000 feet long, 10 feet wide by 1,000 feet long? So we could, getting into the actual area associated with a walking trail could get complicated.
Yeah, how you measure that, if it's a typical walking trail, is a little tough to put it into acreage numbers.
Yeah.
Mm. Correct.
But I still think the idea of you know, having a recreation, a defined recreational area
right.
of 5% makes sense.
Yes.
The 20%, one of the reasons why that's acceptable is that, you know, getting back to the other section, the maximum lot coverage is going to be 65%, possibly as much as 75%. That still means the other 25% of the lot is not going to be developed, cannot be disturbed. So you already have over 20% of open space. Now, it might not all be beautiful open space, but it's going to be open space. This is saying that there has to be 20% that have to be kind of dedicated open space, and a portion of that should be for recreational. But I don't think anybody would say, oh, gee, you have to have 4 acres of recreational space for the types of uses we're going to be able to fit on this property if it goes forward. I think the 1 acre would certainly be sufficient. And I agree with Bob, I think even a half acre on a smaller project would not be unreasonable, especially if there's even something else to do, like walk on trails. Or, by the way, take one of those trails down to a big recreational area down by the river. Now granted, not every project's going to be located adjacent to county land by the river, but in this particular project, I don't think, it seems to me that putting that half in there is overkill. That's the reality.
Planning Commission, what do you think?
I think we beat this up, and it's a matter of the supervisors need to make that decision.
Okay. All right, I'll add some language that gives the two possibilities.
An either or, yeah.
Okay. Got it. All right, let's turn our attention back to the first
number
issue
five.
Based by Mr. Waldron, which goes back to number four and number five, the setbacks and the lot coverage maximum. So we talked about the setbacks being a function of the maximum lot coverage. If an applicant comes in and says, I'm okay at 25%, then he gets the lesser setbacks, the 50 and the 35. If, though, an applicant says, I want the larger maximum lot coverage, 65%, then he has to comply with 75-foot setback along all property lines. However, that can get reduced to the 50 feet if he shows certain things. So, Mr. Waldron, you were saying the one line about 50 feet in paragraph 5 is different than what we have in paragraph 4. That's why. It's the setbacks follow the maximum lot coverage.
But the setback issue wasn't really in that section until this latest draft.
Yeah, because of the discussion that we had, I wanted to make clear how this was going to apply and why it was going to apply. So I think it makes sense. The only issue for the Planning Commission is, are you comfortable with the language as it stands now?
I don't see why not.
Okay, and then the last question that Mr. Waldron had is, if their engineer produces enough evidence to the township engineer that stormwater can be managed and sufficient buffering can be provided, does that 75-foot requirement automatically go down to 50 feet? Or do we keep that language, 75-foot requirement may be reduced to 50 feet? I think a board of supervisors in the end would be hard-pressed not to give 50 feet if the engineering evidence is there. And maybe I'll go to the township solicitor and solicit from him. Do you agree with that thought?
I think if the engineer provides a stormwater plan that meets or exceeds the county and DEP requirements, then there would be no justifiable basis for not reducing it.
Yeah. So, Mr. Waldron, I understand what you're saying. Maybe reduce to you leaves a little bit of wiggle room. But I think when push comes to shove in a conditional use proceeding, I think a board of supervisors is going to be required to give that 50 foot.
Well, it would be if it said shall be. If they said, well, no, we just don't think we want to reduce it as a precaution. I will go back. I hate to beat the dead horse, as Kevin's referred to, but at the last meeting, one of the things I brought up was that I'm certainly familiar with the ordinances in this area, particularly in Pike County and Wayne for that matter. And I'm not aware of anything where there's a additional setback requirement in order to be able to meet a maximum lot coverage. There certainly is the requirement that you have to monitor stormwater. But I believe that language that was put in there, most I have to assume by Tom Shepstone a number of years ago, because he was involved with writing Milford's ordinance, was based on the fact that there really weren't that many options as to how you manage stormwater, particularly no infiltration provisions, or even other ways of concentrating it. And so I think it was felt that, well, you're going to have that area just to be able to fit the things. That's still true to an extent. I don't mean to say that you don't need adequate area to make it work, but I don't know that the 75 foot even that's currently in the ordinance is realistic for the goal that's to be accomplished, which is to make sure that if you allow more concentrated development, you're still going to be able to make sure the stormwater stays on the property or underneath the property. And so I think that 75 foot is quite honestly more antiquated, and it really it should focus on, are you getting the job done? Because otherwise it seems like it's trying to curtail development area.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but from my perspective, you have the existing 414.4 that does require the greater setbacks if there's greater maximum lot coverage. So that's in there already. But it just makes sense to me. If you're going to have greater density kind of on the inside of it, let's make sure that there's sufficient setback buffering, if you will, from whatever exists around it. So that, to my mind, that's why that's there.
Patrick,
but anybody on the Planning Commission have different thoughts?
One last thought, not to argue with you at all, but if that's the point of view, then I guess if it says that if it can be managed and if there's sufficient buffering provided, I think if it said the 75-foot requirement can be reduced to 50%, that would give more assurance that if you get the job done on managing the stormwater, that you will go to that setback. Not maybe, but you can.
And
if you can't show it, then you can't get it.
And that can be reduced down
instead
to
of back.
50%.
50 feet.
50
feet.
50 feet.
Yeah. That's 50 feet. Okay. Sorry.
What if you had something in there like that, if the project follows all township, state, and county ordinances and can meet all requirements for stormwater, then it would be reduced to 50 feet.
They're only stuck on the word.
Yeah, I know.
May.
I know, but I'm
saying, I just want to change the word may to can or shall.
If it meets all the township, all our zoning ordinance and
how does Mr. Belwar think about the can?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with that. If that's going to satisfy the applicant, I'm comfortable with it.
Isn't that what it said?
No, it says May.
May.
You want to change the can?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
But the predicate is that they show the stormwater can be managed. That means complying with all of the state, county, and local regs.
So then we go back. Are we done with that then?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
If you make that change, yes. Patrick and Jim, we talked about this a little bit. Do you agree with that change being needed, but that being sufficient? We don't make this an issue any further?
Yes.
I do. It's the statement about stormwater has to meet all ordinance requirements, and Attorney McDonough mentioned, including all conservation district and PADEP requirements. As long as that's a preliminary plan that can be reviewed by the township engineer and accepted, as long as we don't have to do full engineer, full design documents.
Right, till land development.
Yeah, and by engineering evidence as opposed to, fully engineered plan.
Permit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Okay.
So okay. So if we're talking about the requirements for the conditional use, whether there's studies or there's where have we put maybe in number 8 that. While detailed engineering stormwater grading profiles are addressed in the SALDO and not require the conditional use. But what about traffic studies, feasibility studies, or those that the Planning Commission then at its discretion may ask for? Is that any of that mentioned in here?
Well, you know, it,
I'm not asking study. Tony, I'm asking our solicitor first.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It does say in here that the applicant would have to, at least at the conditional use stage, show that he can comply with the environmental constraints, and also as well as the site design guidelines of section 417. 417 is where a lot of those things are in our ordinance. The only concern that I would have, and I fully understand what Patrick's saying, is that, you know, there's a difference between fully engineered plans that you're going to get a permit on versus an estimate of the flow, which our engineer is going to review. So I think in the long run, it's not going to make a difference because they're not going to get a final approval until they have fully engineered and permitted and a permit. So I think we're just talking about when it has to be done. And
I'm talking more at this point about traffic studies or things that are going to, feasibility studies, things that are going to impact the area or...
Yeah, I mean, as part of any conditional use application, if it looks like it's going to have an effect upon a particular environmental area, you can require that as part of that they do an impact statement. We've had issues before where they brought in environmental impact statements, you know, because it wasn't sure on the plan as to whether it was a wetland or not. And those studies were done preliminarily and the reports were accepted. So that's all going to be part of the conditional use. It's hard to put into language what it is that's going to be necessary to show that they've met the requirements of 417. I don't think you can do it in any language other than to say they have to meet the requirements.
Mr. Belvoir, do you concur with that?
I do, and okay. To a large extent, I'll defer to your solicitor as he's been through the wars before.
Okay. Tony?
Yeah, I mean, with respect to the feasibility, the reality is that location's been defined both by the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan as being an appropriate location for commercial development. And if it comes to an issue of traffic and all, I mean, that's quite frankly going to certainly be scrutinized by PennDOT as to not whether it can be done, but certainly how it's got to be properly controlled. And I don't know that there's a way to, I mean, a traffic study is, it may well be necessary that PennDOT's going to want to see some information on that. Certainly, I assume that they've been evaluating the three lane anyway, but because of other projects that have gone along there. But I think those things are pretty much being addressed. Plus your ordinance does have some, albeit subjective language, that you have to show that it's not gonna have an adverse impact on township facilities or the community. And community certainly does include traffic patterns and to a lesser extent parking, but particularly traffic, because that's part of public safety. So. It's already there. Now, in all honesty, if we show that PennDOT, that we could get a permit from PennDOT, regardless of what they required to make that permit viable, and we show how we're going to come in and off the property that's corresponding to the ordinance, then I don't know that we do have to show that it's not going to cause it. We don't have to prove a negative, unless somebody comes in opposition to the project with objective evidence that shows that it is going to cause some harm, and then we're going to either have to be able to show that they're wrong or that we have to go back to the drawing board.
And I'll put a finer point on that, because I've been through this war, mm-hmm. that an applicant who comes in for a conditional use will say to you, this is a use allowed, it's just you're allowed to put conditions on it. And therefore, if the use that's allowed has some adverse traffic impacts, that is by design. That is, the Board of Supervisors had to have anticipated the standard traffic impacts that come with this type of conditional use. So you can't deny the project because there will be some adverse traffic, stormwater, whatever it is, impacts. It's just they can't be out of the ordinary for that type of use. Does that help the Planning Commission?
Yeah, it's just going to be curious to see how it's going to control the traffic, especially, let's say, around 5, 6 o'clock at night when the traffic's backed out of Milford all the way to Tractor Supply. 3:30.
I don't think that we're as concerned with denial as everybody's feeling we are, as we are about full disclosure. Mm-hmm. So, given that, then the other thing that I asked Mr. Belwar about was the signage. Did you have anything to say about that, Mr. Belwar?
The signage, I will add some language. I think right there at 8, because I do have a sentence there about showing an integrated approach to signage. Then I'll add a sentence that the signage design needs to be for the entire project, irrespective of whether a road divides the project.
All right, so if you go to preferred signage, then the total square footage of signage has to be for the entire project, not two separate sides of the road.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll add that sentence. Okay, it sounds like we're in pretty good shape here.
It would seem so, yep. And we appreciate you guys listening and trying to make this work in a reasonable way. So I think that, you know, I would like to see that wording, but if it's just really addressing the fact that we have to go there on the signage, I don't think there's going to be any reason for us to second guess that. But if I could see it a little bit ahead of time, that'd be great.
But what I'll do is revise
the meeting at the end of the month.
Revise the ordinance as has been discussed here tonight, circulate it, and then we can address it at the regular Planning Commission meeting.
On the 28th. Okay.
That's the 28th.
Very good.
Good enough.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back to watching my Phillies now. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care, Andy. Bye, Tony.
Yep. Bye.
Good night.
Good night, Patrick. Good night, Mr. Petras.
Good night.
Alternate member moved to the Board of Supervisors. What does that?
That's what we had discussed for this meeting.
All right, and the supervisors tabled that or didn't?
No, we didn't get it yet.
Okay.
We were waiting for what the Planning Commission would decide.
What is the law, Tony?
Looking at the MPC, from what I read, we can make an alternate member that can also get involved in discussions, but be a non-voting member. And the reason the board would not want the alternate at this point, well, we all know that Shauna put it in, is for two reasons. She's also the secretary for the supervisor, so I think that would put her in a bad position to be Planning Board and Secretary, you know, Planning Board Secretary and Secretary for the Supervisors. Am I correct in that assumption that if she was to be an alternate, she would count for the quorum and be able to get involved in discussions?
Let me take a look at that, because I'm not exactly sure what that section says. And I don't have it here in front of me.
Okay.
Okay. So besides that, does it give the appearance of a conflict at all, or doesn't it?
Well, if they're a non-voting member, no, it really wouldn't matter. But you know, people.
When you
appearance name, of impropriety can be up to subjective determination. So, you know, what doesn't bother me may very much bother you. But I just want to see this Okay, they're saying that the planning commission may designate an alternate to sit for an absent